All right, we reconvene for the afternoon. And as I said before, the plan is simply to work on the final project, and I will give a 10-minute introduction with the story of ImageNet and the competition that to a certain extent made image recognition as widespread and powerful as it is today. So let me start sharing. Yep. Well, I think it's reasonable to say that the ImageNet competition transformed AI research, at least in the direction of images. So in 2006, Stanford professor Fei-Fei Li started thinking about how you could make a large data set of images that you could train algorithms on. And that meant these images had to be labeled, right? Some humans had to tell what were in the images, and the question was then, can we make machines see this? So that was the question. And so that was the line of thinking. And so what they actually did was to make a website where they asked people to identify what were in the images. And they were smart enough to give some images several times, so they also had a measure of the disagreement between images. And you might say, I mean, how can you miss it? But in the images were, I think, 80 different types of dogs, breeds of dogs. And even though they included only 20 breeds of dogs in the final selection, because each type of dog had enough cases of it, you can still see, you know, I would get that wrong. So the labeling from humans was also not perfect. But, and before that, there was something called the Pascal challenge. So they had 20,000 images and 20 image classes. So 20 different types of objects you had to classify things in. And they ran that competition early. But then they teamed up with Fei-Fei Li and collected tons of images. So when they were ready in 2010 with the ImageNet competition, they had almost 1.5 million images and 1,000 image classes. And then started the race for beating the humans. And to some extent, and a little sidestep here, it turns out that we are very, very good at many things. We are good at playing chess. We're good at seeing what's in an image. We are good at reading. We are good at listening to music and saying what it is. We are very sharp systems. And hence, for machine learning algorithms, the answer is mostly, can we do as well as humans? Can we beat humans in it? And typically, it's also a matter of time, in the sense that, can we work much faster than humans? Not always do it better, just faster. And by 2015, the computers could do that in this narrow competitions, right? Because it's not that they can see better. You know, we can see much more than 1,000 images, but that's what they had. And by 2017, most competitors were getting less than 5% wrong, which was the typical rate of errors by humans. And from 2018 and onwards, the challenge has to be describing 3D images in natural language, 2 and 3D images in natural language. And here you see the error rate of the winner as a function of time. And there's also an image link to an ImageNet paper. And see, what happened was that the realization was that deep networks were better to sort of get the abstract level of the image out. So here you also see the different algorithms and their names and the error rate, and how they now got down to about 3.5%. But at the same time, starting in 2010, here's the number of layers they were using. And while they started with shallow, 8 layers, 8 layers, 19 layers, 22 layers, 152 layers. So that was ResNet that sort of was a revolution. And so ResNet won in 2015. And I can say that some of the teams that were competing here were some of the giant enterprises like Google and Facebook and Baidu and so on. This was a chance to measure the ability they had within the company. So now, and I think while the breakthrough in 2012 was when it started going down, the breakthrough was really combining pieces that were already there before. So it was not as if new things were invented from the ground, they were just improved and improved and improved. And now I opened the chat. Natural language means that can it read a book? Can it hear what I say? Can it understand that? So, and it doesn't have to describe a cat sitting in a chair. It just has to describe there's a cat in a chair. But, well, you will see. So from 2018, the challenge has been upping its game, because now it's a visual Turing test, right? You have to tell in an image what things are and what relation they have. And that's sort of the new level of the challenge. And well, while this is not too bad, it looks as if it can tell, the relation somewhat here. But for example, here it just says that the persons are standing in front of a car. Well, that's not deep. Can't tell who owns the car, for example. But in the end, they want actually to put captions on the images. And here's an example which I really like. So below here is an image, and now humans and computers are asked to describe it. And humans said, elephants of mixed ages standing in a muddy landscape, whereas the computer model said, a herd of elephants walking across a dry grass field. Notice the last sentence is generated by a computer seeing this image. I think there are different wins. For example, a herd of elephants is probably correct, better than elephants. Of mixed age is good. The computer didn't get that. And standing in a muddy landscape is probably more accurate than crossing a dry grass field. But it's true, there's also a dry grass field. So in a muddy landscape with a dry grass field behind could be the sort of perfect. But, well, now it gets hard to write a loss function, because what is the correct description? The human one or something else? Yeah, so, all right, we're getting more links from Roni. And in the end, the realization was also that you had to use GPUs if you want to run CNN's large scale. Simply. Here's the fraction of teams. Here's the error, and here's the fraction of teams using GPUs. And in 2012, I would say that was impressive, because getting your hands on a GPU at that time was not that simple, and making code run on it. But between 12 and 13, the realization was there. Now the answer is everybody does. Yeah, that was the ImageNet competition, which is to some extent still going on, because when you hit a gold mine, you continue digging, and Feifei Lin company is doing that. Yeah, any questions, just speak up. No? If not, then I think we should simply continue running. I'll stop the video though, but we'll remain on the chat, and you can just speak in when you want. It's also perfectly all right, or even better probably, to quit, find your group, and discuss final project. And don't hesitate to write me about them. I'll be updating the final project webpage with teams and subjects and so on. And then I'll add one more thing. We thought that it would be fitting. Let me just stop sharing here. We thought that it would be fitting if you had a contact person. And we are sort of sorting out who would be the fitting contact person for each project, but simply so that you don't have to re-explain everything from the ground to any new person. It doesn't mean you're not welcome to contact any person, but it's probably better if you have someone that you discuss it with from the outside. And I also think that maybe at the end of next week or so on, I want you again to sit down and discuss with other groups how you're doing things. And here we might pair up groups instead of doing just the breakout session. Yeah. If that triggers any question, now is the time. Otherwise, I think we'll stop the recording for today and but keep the meeting running until 5. Yeah. Well, that's it. And that's that. So you post a list of contact persons where? I posted on the final project webpage along with all the groups and all the subjects. And I will be writing out on Absalon when we do that. Cool. Well, let me...